councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
It is a big idea, a new world order.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists.
But I also believe that a lot of gun owners would agree that AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals.
Guns will be taken. No one will be able to be armed. We're going to take all guns.
For many of the police and guard troops, it is an uncomfortable job to do this in an American city.
It's global governance at last. Is it one world? The central bankers in charge. But aren't we all just living and dying for what the central banks do?
As for me, give me liberty or give me death!
The answer to 1984 is 1776.
Welcome. You're watching InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Ortiz. It's Monday, December the 24th of 2012. Thank you for joining us this evening on this Christmas Eve edition of the Nightly News telecast. Now, throughout this entire week, we're going to have hard-hitting segments. It will feature new special reports. We're going to unveil throughout this entire Christmas week new special reports, as well as powerful interviews that Alex and other members of the crew have recently conducted. We're going to re-air a lot of interviews as well that have recently taken place. So throughout this entire Christmas week, you can expect some new reports. We're also once again going to re-air some powerful interviews that Alex and other members of the crew have recently conducted. So it's going to be a fun week, to say the least. Now, later on this evening, we're also going to show you a special Ask Alex segment, in which many Info Warriors submitted questions via planetinfowars.com to Alex. And the man himself is going to answer those questions. Christy Hightower will be hosting that. So stay tuned for that. But before we go to that, we want to give you an update on our Pierce Morgan deportation petition drive that we have. Our petition has received, it's gone viral. It's been on Drudge Report, the AP, and it's basically a petition, if you want to fill it out, that says that we want Pierce Morgan, the anti-Second Amendment activist, to be deported. And according to that article, over 31,000 signatures have been filed. But let's give you an updated tally. It's almost like a marathon. As of right now, Christmas Eve, we're over 44,000 people say, Pierce Morgan, you're filth and you need to be deported. You're against the Second Amendment. And if we hit 50,000, that will match the amount of viewers his show receives on a daily basis. So we're over 44,000 right now. That number is going to continue to grow. If you want to fill that out, if you want to see Pierce Morgan deported, just go to Infowars.com, look at the article that talks about it. And in that article, there's a link that will forward you to that petition. And for those that say this goes against his First Amendment rights, you'll see in our articles why it does not violate his First Amendment rights if, in fact, we seek to deport him. So fill out that petition. And remember, if you like what we do here, you know, one way you can help this operation is by becoming a member of PrisonPlanet.tv. Right now, we have a special operation called Operation Wake the Sleeping Giant, in which you can become a subscriber and share that subscription with as many as 10 additional people, upwards of 10 people. They'll be able to see the show for free. They'll be able to use your username, your password. So one subscription is good for up to 10 people, and that's a great gift. Or you could obviously split it with some friends, and the subscription will basically be almost free if you do that, if you guys all split the cost. This is a great way to fund our operation. So right now, we're going to go to the Ask Alex segment, and hold on tight. He has some great responses.
Wow. Welcome, Planet InfoWars users. It's been a while, but we are back with Alex Jones here to answer some of your amazing questions. So thank you for your patience, and let's get started. Alex, good to see you again.
We have not done this in a while, and I'm glad that we're doing it again. Ask Christy.
Yeah, he's been bugging me. When are we doing an Ask Christy? I don't know about that.
Because it turns into an Ask Christy. No, being serious here.
You're awesome.
A lot of questions to go over here. We're going to do 7 tonight and 7 tomorrow night to air on InfoWars Nightly News. And you know how quick I am with questions.
Yeah, we'll see.
So I'm sure this will go very fast.
All right. Well, I tried to cram-packed and get some good ones in here for you. So the first one actually comes to you, Alex, and it says, Alex, Bev Harris is a great guest and has proven voter fraud this past election. But my question is, what's the point of knowing all this info if we're not going to do anything? Then that's actually Glenn that asked you that.
Well, I agree. But polls showed 15 years ago when I and others were exposing election fraud, less than 10% of people even thought it existed. It was seen as a conspiracy theory, even though we had the proof. Now over 90% in major polls know it's a fraud. And there are lawsuits in counties and cities fighting back and kicking out these fraudulent computer systems and going back to paper ballots that are counted at the precinct, posted on the wall.
Awesome.
Then all the precincts report. You add them together publicly, and there's your number. And then there's still going to be some retail dead people voting with their IDs. But that's hard to steal total elections with. It's the big centralized systems where they're designed, all the big companies, so you can go in, hack in, change the votes, then cover it up. I mean, they're designed for that. People have gone to jail. And now you're right. It's like, well, okay, it's fraudulent. What do? We've kind of reached that point.
It's nuts. Actually, lots of my friends that I talk to about these kind of things, they're like, yeah, that's true. Yeah. You know, the government's shipping guns. It's kind of like, yeah, I accept.
Oh, yeah, the government's shipping guns into Mexico. Yeah, the government's shipping narcotics into the country. Yeah, no, it's all just out in the open now.
And it's like we feel helpless, you know, like all right, yeah, I acknowledge it, but what do we do now? So
we turn our guns in.
Yeah. All right, so the next question actually, don't even get me started on that, Alex. This last weekend was really rough for me. I was angry this last weekend about all that. Dear Alex, I find it quite curious that in the past month there have been two tragedies by the name of Sandy. Obviously, the hurricane and then this recent shooting. The Frankenstorm and now the incredibly heinous massacre in Connecticut. Interesting fact that I was provided with in the book The Hunger Games, there was a ritual sacrifice of 23 children. Author of The Hunger Games, Suzanne Collins, lives in Sandy Hook. Now, I don't know about anybody else. However, I've learned everything from history is that bad things happen in threes. So is there any kind of like third prediction we're moving towards? This is actually coming to you from Courtney Driver.
Well, again, that's a really big question. All I know is the media kind of turns your nerve endings on and then they turn them off. Don't worry about a million dead Iraqis, British Medical Journal. Don't worry about Obama killing thousands of children with drones in 8 countries. Don't worry about Libya and Syria being turned over to Al-Qaeda to ethnically cleanse tens of thousands of blacks in Libya alone and blow up churches. Never mind all the videos you can find online of little kids with their faces blown off. I mean, unbelievable stuff. We're told, oh, that's just war collateral damage.
Right.
But then when they want to pull on heartstrings and go, we just want to take your guns for the children. It's not that we're buying 1.6 billion bullets and, you know, massing all this force and surveilling you illegally run by foreign banks. We really want to take all your guns because we care. And then they have the big slave factory owning Walmart. You know, we're not going to sell guns anymore because, you know, of this. And then trying to get other retailers to stampede into a hysteria to ban guns. And so people say bad things come in threes. There's 7 billion plus people on the globe. 15 million children starve to death a year. That's a conservative UN zone number. And another, strangely enough, 15 to 20 million adults. So we're talking 30 plus million. Again, individually, Stalin said one person dies, it's a tragedy. 10,000 die, it's a statistic.
Right.
They have decided to go in and say, look at the children and play the music and show the parents and do all that because now they want to get that UN gun treaty signed. Now is the time. I mean, look, 3 weeks before the tragedy happened.
You called it.
Well, I mean, it wasn't hard to call. It's
right.
Like, that bear is crapping in the woods, Mike. How did you know that? I mean, when you see the enemy massing and they're bragging, we're going to get their guns, don't worry.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the quotes we've gotten here. They told us they were coming.
Yeah.
So, you know, I take it pretty serious, you know.
Absolutely.
But now it's like, come on, the kids died. Let's turn them in just for them.
Yeah.
So, but meanwhile, I'm glad this got brought up. Can we go to a document cam shot on this?
Yeah.
Let me show people something here. think we're already to question number two. Where are my FBI crime statistics? I just had them out there, strangely enough. Will you guys give me those FBI statistics? Thank you. I just happened to bring these in here with me. Oh, never mind. They were under here. Too many articles to me. Look at this right here.
Lots to cover.
This is Uniform Crime Reports, the FBI. Violent crime from 07 to 011. The numbers were always getting here a year late. You're looking at a 20% decrease. And if you look worldwide at what's happening, as gun ownership goes up in the few countries that have guns, crime goes down.
Yeah.
So it's absolutely, and by the way, going back to the mid-80s when gun ownership increased again, they were kind of, the media had power to demonize guns from the 60s on. A lot of them got turned in, crime got really bad. People went, you know what?
Never mind.
I'll call the cops if they can show up, but I got a gun to protect myself.
Exactly.
So what happens is violent crime's going straight down, but you'd think the media, you think it was the end of the world, wouldn't you? You think crime was like, because gun ownership is going straight up. So there's the real graph. And by the way, go look at the FBI crime statistics, FBI.gov for yourself. And they really don't like to advertise these. And it's the same on property crime, everything. Property crime in homes is way down. The only thing that's up, and we looked at those statistics on Austin as well. It's an incredible website because it gets all the local statistics. Because the depression's going, cars getting broken into when you're not there, purses getting taken at the mall, pickpocketing, stuff like that's up.
I know just at my complex, I've heard of in the last week, just, you know, cars getting broken into, slim jimmed, like no windows broken, nothing. They just get in there. I wonder if part of it is too Christmas. I mean, people get desperate.
Well, it's a lot of that, but I mean, just generally in the last few decades, as more people arm, less women are getting raped, less people are getting mugged, less home invasions.
Yeah.
The old days, crazy, would just tie up your family when they came to rob you. Places like New York and Chicago.
Yeah.
And then kind of go, you know what, I think I'll go ahead and let's just kill the whole family.
Why not?
Yeah, that's way down. Because you know what, they know, let me see, more than half these houses are packing heat. They're gonna kill me real fast.
Yeah, I wouldn't hesitate. I wouldn't hesitate.
So I just showed people the FBI's own numbers, okay? Yeah. Those are facts.
I'm curious that they even put it out. I mean, I'm curious. Like, why?
Well, see, that's that. The crime statistics have been a big debate. That's why they want to fully federalize local police.
Right.
Because the locals are collecting the numbers.
And they're seeing that it's not going to work out. And,
well, they can't cook them.
Yeah.
Just like I was saying on the voting, you have it counted locally and then added up in front of everybody. You don't just trust the feds. The feds are just, in fact, I can go to the local Austin Police Department and see the exact same statistics. That was collected by the local police.
It's awesome.
But the point is, criminals have moved to stealing the wiring off government buildings.
Right, the copper.
Yeah. They've moved to shoplifting. Because nobody's going to shoot you in a store. They know that the security guard ain't going to do that, or the police aren't most of the time, unless you try to back over them, like happened a few weeks ago at Walmart.
Right.
So they're moving to where they know the guns aren't. Where do these crazies go to shoot people?
Where they know nobody has a gun.
Where they know nobody has a gun. But they want to create all this emotion and hope we don't look at that. All right, question number three.
Good, moving right along. All right, Alex, my question, this question actually touched my heart personally, so that's really why I'm including it as well. But, Alex, my question is of a personal conflict of ideologies. I agree Social Security and Medicare are abused and misused, and they want to enslave us all through it. But on the other hand, as I'm legally blind and I'm diabetic, who has a kidney transplant? How will I survive post New World Order? Without Social Security, how do I eat? No one wants to hire someone like me to be I'm a big liability. Even though I'm a hard worker, self-motivator, et cetera, you know, I want the government out of our lives just as much as you do, but what am I supposed to do?
Well, here's what you should understand.
It's Michael, by the way.
Michael, that's a great question. These are all great questions from planetinfowars.com and the Ask Alex group if folks want to send us more questions. A lot of times I notice that the commenters answer each other's questions, so
yeah,
it's
nice.
Really one of the best sites on there, or groups, I guess you'd call it, not to be technical. There isn't a perfect world. We know that modern governments based on eugenics have created a socialist model at the grassroots to take control of people, and once they get the full socialist model in, it's designed to bankrupt the old healthcare system. And it is set up to then bring in a cost-cutting program of eugenics. So you rightfully said under the New World Order, you're going to be in deep trouble.
Yeah.
Let's get that straight. You know, the illegal aliens, everybody else under charity care or whatever could get care. They would try to not let citizens know about that. now under this system, it's doubling the insurance cost. I mean, that was announced last week. Well, we knew that. Insurance companies wrote it.
Yeah.
So now the government lets them restrict what care you get. They go, oh, you're still getting the care. We just can cut it back now.
Right.
And they say, oh, just non-essential tests. No, it's whatever they want.
Yeah.
And death panels that Bill Gates pushes. So it's a death system. You could have robots that administered some nice socialist system. It would still have problems. But who programs the robots? But when you talk about humans doing it, it's done purely so these people can play God. But it'll take them a while to kill the healthcare system. And I understand having welfare at the local state level, the church level. Most of these big Rockefeller-run hospitals are supposed to be, you know, tax exempt. They're supposed to have half their care being charity care.
Right.
They don't do that.
No.
Or they turn Americans away. And again, I'm not bashing illegal aliens. Why do the illegal aliens get the health care and citizens don't? Why do illegal aliens get let go for drunk driving? Citizens don't. Because, and I've had cops admit this to me. It's been on the news.
I've heard it too.
Well, it's absolutely a fact. It's because they want the incentive to bring the third world labor here to drive down wages to make us third world. The globalists use poverty to control people.
When you're completely poor, you're desperate. I mean, just like you're breaking into people's cars.
That's what they want. And exactly. They want that control. But then there's the Second Amendment there. So now the globalists want everything to be like Chicago or New York, overrun with crimes. You call for more cops and then it just gets more. No. Instead, the guns are equalizing. The crime's going down. But they're like, no, 20 kids. You know, look at this. It's horrible, which it is. But again, I've used this analogy 100 times. I'll use it again, Christy. It's so important.
Absolutely.
And we've done a news report on this that we should air again. Maybe even tonight.
The crocodile tears with all of the kids being killed by drones playing over it.
Yeah. We played that last week. We need to play one from like a year ago from the Nightly News where we showed this, the articles from the 70s. Mm-hmm. Guys, what years did Jaws come out? 76, 78? I forget. Where for 2 years, more than half the people didn't go to the beach.
Oh, yeah.
Because they thought the shark was in there.
It's still a stigma. It's still.
Well, yeah. And it's the same deal today.
Yeah.
With guns. It's like sticking an owl on your roof so pigeons don't get up there and crap on your house. And it's like they even know it's probably not real, but it looks like an owl. It looks scary.
Right.
Because owls eat pigeons.
Not going to try it.
And it's the same thing. They're like, oh, American people. You know, there's 315 million of us. I'll draw a picture. Hey, 1975. Well, came out even earlier than I thought. Here's the owl. Okay. You know what? The owl is the Sandy Hook thing. Statistically, it's not even on the radar, but it's horrible tragedies for them. But all they do is go Sandy Hook, and they go rrr, rrr, and they just scare everybody. We're like, we'll give our guns up, take our rights. Terrorists, it's your 9/11. Now we're going to spy on everybody and stick our hands on your pants at the TSA. Roar, roar. I mean, you know, it's just like putting one of these owls. Anybody seen the owls they put on the roofs out there? You know,
yeah.
It scares the birds away.
Oh, yeah.
Well, how do they scare our freedom away? It's like, you know, I'm Mr. Prozac. I'm going to kill your kids. Oh, my gosh, I'll get my rights up. That's right. Good job, you know. You know, you've seen the puppets we've purchased.
Oh, I have. I'm
soon those will be rolled out in the Fight for Liberty.
All right, the next question, Alex. It says, Dear Alex, my question concerns the repeat of history. When settlers came to America, they encountered Native Americans. And during the next 100 years after that encounter, the settlers had formed a trust with them. And then they had them all put in camps, removed their weapons. I mean, yeah, this is not the first, obviously.
I need to use that example where they would go, lay down your arms, natives. The violence is bad.
Snuggle up with the measles blankets.
And again, it was very complex with French and Spanish and British and then the colonies. And the native groups were just as vicious as the Westerners.
Yeah. So,
on average, that was diverse groups as well. They would come and say, we will stop raiding you if you join us and kill this tribe. Because they all had beefs as well. That's why the natives could be defeated, was because they didn't have the superior technology, even though they had greater numbers, and they weren't unified. And so it took over 150 years to even get off the East Coast because the natives were smart and would play the French off against the Brits and off against the Spanish. And, you know, that's how they would do it. I mean, divide and conquer is just something humans do.
Yeah.
It's just that the Westerners got an organized government. And once there was an organized country and Western expansion and, you know, the providence where, you know, the divine right to move west, once that idea was put out, nothing was going to stop it. And there were incredible wars that went on, and it's bad from both perspectives. But really, it was just good old-fashioned barbarism. And that's what the globalists are doing with the illegal aliens now. They hate their guts. They want to get them here, shoot them up with cancer virus vaccines, you know, drive down their wages as well. They signed UN deals in the 80s to take the rural property from the natives in southern and also western and eastern areas of Mexico. They drove them all up to Mexico City to work as slave labor, basically, and then up to the maquiladoras on the border and then into the United States. Mm. So, again, they're victims in this as well, but it's the same deal. The globalists are divide and conquer using the giant Latin American population to bring down the United States, and they pretty much have already done it. I mean, we are becoming a third world country.
The next, that was actually by Tammy, so thank you, Tammy. The next question actually by Bulletproof, and he says, Alex, I heard Wednesday's broadcast where you got stopped by the trooper, and that was a good broadcast.
That was like two Wednesdays ago now. I haven't had time to air that.
I feel like it was yesterday, it seems like. And he explains, yeah, I know, and I don't really like it about the illegal aliens. And my question, why not just have the good cops arrest the bad cops? Which I think is actually
interesting. Well, the police aren't like Judge Dredd doing whatever they want.
Yeah.
They are totally under the government's control, under federal mandates, being watched by surveillance, yeah. And they're told to be total robots. That's why they won't hire cops with above 100 IQs now.
Yeah.
Because they found higher intelligence will question, you are to robotically not arrest illegal aliens and throw the book at citizens. And if you don't like it, we got 100 more guys.
No, it costs them too much money to
The feds won't even pick them up.
Yeah. It's just,
you know, extra that would be, it was for a crime to that nation, back to the nation where it was committed. In this case, it's deportation.
There we go.
Or a new word, deportation. deporting, yes.
We're going to have an Alex dictionary.
You can tell I've been talking too much. All right, next question.
All right, so the next one is a fan of 2012 asks you, I've got a question about presidential assassinations. And I was like, whoa, when I read this question. But why was William McKinley murdered? I've heard a lot of conspiracy theories about how the bankers played a role in the murders of Kennedy, Lincoln, and even James Garfield, but I never heard anything about McKinley's assassination.
All right, well, I'm going to be honest about this. I remember the case. I remember one of those things. I'm so tired today that I cannot remember. And, well, to be clear, I remember about 80% of it, but then if I don't absolutely have all the facts and the history fresh in my brain, because I've been working quite a bit lately with the attack on the guns, then I don't like to answer the question. Let me look it up.
Okay.
Just to make sure that it's I've got my facts straight before I even comment.
Weird.
Yeah, that was the guy that launched the Spanish-American War. He was the guy in charge when they staged the attack on the Maine.
The bankers involved in his assassination.
Yeah, so I knew who he was and what he did. I just remember the particulars of his assassination. I need to go back to it, because then if you read part of the history, then it triggers all the rest of the history.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when you're trying to, like this computer, you're trying to get some data off of it, and it's like, go back to it for me so I can read it right here and try to answer it. Because, again, I haven't pre-looked at these questions, folks. They give them to me fresh. Raise protective tariffs to promote American industry and maintain the nation on a gold standard. And despite the fact that he helped, again, launch the Spanish-American War with Hearst and others, that's what I had remembered about him, was that he didn't go along with the globalists and the Rothschilds and others, and the fact that they didn't want us to have a strong nation. They wanted to just use us to basically fund their empire. So, yeah, my memory did serve correctly, that basically was what was going on with William McKinley.
How did the Rothschilds and things like that, like, do they have their own set of personal snipers or, you know, assassins that they can just... Like, how do you pick?
Boy, that's another big question.
I mean, that's my own question I'm kind of inserting here, but.
It's all in British history, how they did it.
Yeah.
But to oversimplify it, they financed both Napoleon and the British Empire.
Hmm.
And in a war, both sides go into massive debt.
Yeah.
And the government's battling with each other, the two different corrupt systems will take private property, take 100% of what people've got.
Yeah.
Take the middle class's money, you name it, to buy the weapons they need. And the Rothschilds had, you know, five different dynasties broken off. And so they were in control of five different major countries and all five major powers. They were big players in Europe and in England.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go back and study the history, the head Rothschild in England, who was the most powerful, he had people at the Battle of Waterloo. That's why we say he's met his Waterloo when Napoleon, you know, was beaten for the last time. And Napoleon had been beating and beating and beating, you know, the different sides. And then I start pulling up the data on the actual battle. And Napoleon caught in the British-Prussian pincer attack. But what they were able to do was then he got a fast corvette on the seaside to race across, you know, the minute that the battle ended, they used carrier pigeons to then get to horsemen who then raced ahead, hours ahead, on the fastest ship across the channel to then have their people put out the announcement in the London Stock Exchange, the biggest in the world, that England had lost the war. And stocks just plunged over 90%. Yeah. I actually covered this in Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement. And then he was able to buy it all up for pennies on the pound. And so after they did that, not only did they have key banking houses dominating banking in Europe, now they had the British Empire absolutely in hawking. And they took control of almost every company in England, which was the most powerful, vibrant empire in the world. So the Rothschilds became, and then they were made lords and intermarried with the royalty.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's a weird, you know, German, Jewish hybrid with the German royal family that the British royal family is German as well, and Transylvanian. We're going to get their whole lineage. It's just bizarre. But then they adopted, by the 1850s, just a few decades later, I think the Battle of Waterloo was in 1815, they adopted eugenics because they thought it could make them live longer. They were also inbred, the Rothschilds, normally marrying, you know, their cousins.
Mm-hmm.
They had the same problem as the British royalty.
Right, yeah.
Their children were born with serious deformities and mental problems. So they fully funded eugenics. And they've made our world.
Wow.
I mean, almost everything you look at, the UN, government departments, programs, it's Rothschild, Rockefeller. And by the way, 10 years ago, they merged their bank holdings. This year, 2012, they merged their family holdings. They are now one operation because the Rothschilds really are the head of the snake, and the Rockefellers were their client family.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Wow. I feel like I have so much more reading to do. This seventh question, so this will be the end of this section here, but Bob from San Jose, California says, Alex, so many things always... he says so many things to tell you, but the one thing I wanted to say was I love your son. He's a character. Well, we know where the next voice in alternative media is going to go. So kudos to you and your wife. But why is he on the air? Yeah, like what? I know you've said he wanted to be on the air.
He's here today.
Is he?
Because he's homeschooled. He's homeschooled, and he reads about 10 years ahead of his time.
Yeah.
And he already knows more history and things in some areas than I do, and he just begs and has a passion. Believe me, I'm super private about my children, my family,
Yeah. The
whole nine yards. And he just really has a passion to be on air, and he's creative. So he's back there doing research right now.
Cool.
We've got an amazing demonstration with Legos. I mean, I'm not going to give it away yet.
Awesome.
Coming out soon that he's helped us work on. And he did the Terrorism 101.
So well done.
Videos. And again, about 90% of that was his idea.
So cool.
I mean, that's basically it. People ask, why is he on the air? Well, he has a passion for liberty.
Good. No, and then access to it. Well, that's it for this section. So we will be back with a new section tomorrow night. So tune in for the rest of the Ask Alex questions. Thank you, and keep them coming in the Ask Alex group on planetinfowars.com.